listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 14th. My name is Michael Kelly. I am here with Dr. Hunter, whose mic isn't on just yet, but there it goes. I see it live.
Good evening, Michael. Nice to be here, as always.
Good. Nice to have you. So thankful to have everybody in our chat. We appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us live as well. Always love this day of the week. Always love seeing you guys. And thank you so much. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, you know, we're gonna have a bit of an open discussion, Dr. Vicki. And I know that to get us started, you said that you had discovered the absolute unequivocal, meaning of life. You know the true meaning of life. You're going to regale us all with this deep wisdom. All right, shoot.
Of course. I know everything. I know everything. No, Michael and I actually didn't know what we wanted to talk about tonight, so that's just being really honest, so we're making it an open discussion. But, you know, Dr. Mike has got us started off here. I love this community. And, yeah. And may I say off the top, it just reminds me how important it is, especially, you know, in the climate of the world, to have a community you feel comfortable in.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to, you know, while you're out there in the world, come back to your safe zone, have a friend to call, somebody to go out. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. She lives in town here. And I said, yeah, I only have to go to Freshco, the grocery store today. She goes, yeah, me too. I said, well, pick me up on the way. We'll go together. And she lives not far from me. So she picked me up and I said, you know, we know we're two old ladies when our biggest outing is going for groceries. And so here we are, two old ladies walking up and down the aisles. Do you need this aisle? I don't know what's down this aisle. You know, and it was just kind of fun. But having that safe place, even if it's for a half an hour or an hour,
yeah,
and coming here together, it's so important these days. The world is it's crazy enough, you know. That's people driving down the wrong side of the road, whipping out a, you know, side streets, not looking,
and that's just the British.
and so it's, you know, it's so important to have this community.
Absolutely.
But Dr. Mike has said consciousness is one of the most profound and debated topics in philosophy, neuroscience, psychology, and metaphysics.
Yeah.
You know, it is, because how then do we, you know, we're back to square one here. How do we define consciousness?
Yeah.
And I've had enough experience in my life that, and some pretty odd experiences, Which the least of which is the shared death experience, you know, when you watch a soul leave the body. And I don't think I was hallucinating. I don't take hallucinogens. So I absolutely believe that we are just pure energy. But how do you prove that, Michael? You can't prove it. It's just, you
it's
know it, you don't.
Yeah.
I know.
By the way, unequivocal is the word I was struggling with a minute ago. It was on the tip of my tongue, unequivocal. But I digress. You know, I said that you were going to explain to us the meaning of life, and, you know, it was a joke, but I'll be darned if you didn't actually explain the meaning of life, especially for human beings, and this is going to lead into the consciousness, but we are human animals. You know, we like to think that we're the, you know, and yes, I don't disagree about being pure energy, but we are also the human animal. We, you know, and a lot of people say, well, we don't have free will because we are driven by instinct, or we, you know, have all these different processes. That's that's not looking at it the right way. Obviously, Miracle agrees with me, obviously. But, you know, human beings, what is the meaning of life for us in a lot of ways? Finding the community that is right for you, engaging with that social network, by which I mean physical people in your lives, or digitally like this, but I don't mean social media. I mean the real bonds that tie us. People that have strong social connections live longer, live happier. And part of our consciousness, the conscious experience of what it is to be human, is existing in that complex social community. And a lot of things that we do with our consciousness, a lot of the ways in which we think, is based on being human. And based on a lot of things that are uniquely human. Well, maybe not totally unique, but at least in the natural, like empathy, right? But that kind of caring nature. You know, one of the most remarkable things about humanity is how we started caring for one another. That if we broke an ankle, we'd help and heal that ankle, as opposed to leaving them out in the ditch. And,
you know,
go ahead.
Can I just say, hence Dr. Kelly's newsletter the other day, How to Be More Human. You know, and again, for those who haven't read it, take a peek. They're good newsletters.
Yeah.
Dr. Kelly does a good job. You know, it's being human in our community, and when all else fails, find a sane bunch of people, you know. A friend of mine lives in another province, and I've known her for probably 35 years. Haven't seen her for many years, but we like to get on video chat and spend an afternoon together. You know, we're up, we go to the bathroom, we get our coffee, we get our lunch, we just have a great time. It's like having been in each other's home, you know, for half the day. And at the end, it's like, oh, I don't want to say goodbye, you know, because it's that connectedness, and it's, you know, I love you so much. And don't be afraid to say to people you love them, by the way. And
good point.
You know, so you mean so much to me in my life, and I'm so glad that we have this time together. And that's an appreciation that everyone needs to hear. Everyone does. You know, like when I phoned my friend here in town this morning, I said, I got nothing new. I just thought I'd bore you. Oh, you never bore me. and that's what friends do. And if you're so fortunate to even have a couple of people in your life where you can drive in a car and not speak and you're comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a friend in my view.
That's very true. Absolutely. And about finding that tribe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love some of the comments. Oh, absolutely. You know, I want to touch on a few things from the chat, especially, Danny, are there levels of consciousness? Absolutely. That's something that I hold to be true. And I want to get into that too. Dr. Steven pointing out that humans are not the only species that express empathy, apes, gorillas, elephants. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of stopped myself and saying that it's not absolutely just us, but nature is beautiful and brutal. And, you know, it just is what it is. But dogs, also, I'm going to throw that on the list. Obviously, dogs are very like humans in the tribal nature, you know, the pack mentality and the you know, the empathy and the caring for one another. You know, we, I think, connected on that as well. But, you know, I think when it comes to consciousness, coming back to your point, Dr. Damien, after that wonderful graduation ceremony, your graduation into the doctoral program, is I absolutely believe in levels of consciousness. I think that consciousness is, like most things in existence that we've found, is a spectrum. You just pointed out in chat. Consciousness can be considered like, yes, a fruit fly. Yes, plants. A very minute level of consciousness. And I think, just like a computer, the better the hardware, the better you're able to plug into that consciousness, that framework, you know, that web of consciousness, you know, the better you're able to see around you. And I think that awareness brings consciousness, awareness to stimuli and things like that helps bring consciousness. You know, I think that's why plants read stimuli. They react to stimuli. We know this. There's a very minute level of consciousness. Fruit flies, I think they live for like a day. They have a very minute form of consciousness. It gets higher from there, you know? So I've been rambling for a minute. I don't want to take up all the oxygen. I have a lot of hot air, I know.
Well, Buddhists believe that, I'm not saying I do, I'm just saying Buddhists believe that we can reincarnate to be a fruit fly or a mosquito. My late teacher, Frank, would say he believes that there are levels of consciousness that, let's say, the four-leggeds would reincarnate into the four-legged. Mm. And humans, you know, have their own level of consciousness. And let's say dogs and cats would reincarnate into that consciousness of dogs and cats. And he believed that that's how that consciousness worked. And look, I don't know myself. I believe that everything has a level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even Howard is asking in the chat, at what level of consciousness is self-awareness discovered? Well, we've talked about that in the past, and Dr. Mike is like this encyclopedia of that, in how many animal species can recognize themselves in a mirror, you know, and, mm-hmm. and have a certain self-awareness. And, I mean, I think if we can understand that everything is awake, that even grass, you cut the grass and it smells, it's giving off that wound. It's a wounded smell. And science has actually, mm-hmm. you know, proven that now.
And think about the fact that how many people love the smell of fresh cut grass.
Yes.
Six.
Yeah. Dr.
SOBs.
Mike is saying six. There's six animal species that recognize themselves in a mirror.
Yeah.
And so if we can understand that, we can have a greater appreciation and respect for nature.
Yeah.
And a community of nature.
Absolutely.
This is why, if you ever need to heal, even if you're city folks, go take a walk in a park. You know, nobody knows it better than folks like, you know, Wendy, our card keeper, about what it is to live in the country with animals. And it's just to be awake to life around you. You know, a late friend of mine, a musician, taught me that everything in nature is music. And if you know a basic scale of music, then you can pick out the notes of whether it's a bird singing, traffic on asphalt. And he would be able to hear this pitch perfect, the best ears I've ever known, a great blues player. And he would always say that blues players are always trying to bend the notes, bend the strings, to get a truer sound, one that's more of nature. And we go back to the Gregorian chant. I think thereafter was when they reduced a 33 note scale to 7. And it's fascinating if we study music and sound. But if we can attune our ears to nature and open our senses, everything is alive. Everything. And I think that in and of itself, that awareness of it is, you know, kind of evidence to consciousness. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think just if we were just physical beings, you know, we wouldn't care.
Yeah. I tend to agree. And, you know, I love that you connected it with, you know, understanding the animal kingdom and our place in it, too, because for so long, everything was humanity is, primary. All the animal kingdom is secondary. It's on a different level, and it's not even on the same spectrum. But no, I think, you know, when I talk about humans being more like animals, I don't mean to denigrate humans. I mean to uplift animals. I mean, we need to respect all life, oh, and we need to understand, you know, we act with empathy. Empathy is the core of all morality.
But. Well, Wendy is saying everything in nature is music, and everything in music are numbers, therefore everything is math. Mm. Yeah, it is.
That's why it's a simulation.
And maybe we are.
But you know, that answers nothing, because it just kicks the can down the road. Well, then who created the people that made the simulation? Do they not have an existence that is largely mathematical and musical and things like that? What is that existence like? You know?
I caught a little video today, another one on MUFON, and basically saying how we're all living in a matrix. And again, it's...
But what does that answer? It doesn't answer anything.
Yeah.
Fine. Least, but it tells us a little bit about consciousness. You know, I think, therefore I am. That means even if we are a simulation, we're still very real. But who created the people that made the simulation? What made the simulation? You know, what kind of simulation is it? I mean,
we've been so down this road before.
I know. It's like the same thing that saying God did it, right? You know, well, then. That doesn't make sense, it's not that it doesn't make sense as much that it doesn't explain anything. We're still back to square one.
Yeah.
But I digress.
No, it's really about, you know, I don't know the meaning of life. No, I mean, I know kind of sometimes the meaning of my life.
Yeah.
You know, Audra, thanks. Fibonacci sequence. You got to look it up, guys. Everything in nature. So that's I had to verbalize that because it was in the chat. I think that we are people who just need to connect with each other, and that's where I think, you know, love can spread just as much as toxicity.
Yeah.
And whatever kind of frame of mind we're living in, if you're living in fear, then you're going to gravitate toward people or things that, you know. You know, embellish fear. And if you live in a place of love and know who you are, you can weed that out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And say, no, that's not me. And that's where at the end, I know I've said this before, Michael, but indulge me. When I say don't let them push you around out there, it's really don't let them contaminate you. And it just, I know who I am. And I know some days I've been out and on a full moon. Ooh, don't go shopping on a full moon. And, you know, a couple of things I'll observe happening, and I say, yeah, I got to go home. No, I can't be out here. You know, today Susan and I were coming out of the grocery store, walking toward the car, and I was walking just a bit ahead of her. She's got the buggy behind me, and I put my hand out. We all stopped because there's a car pulling out and looking in every direction except our own. and I see, and I looked at it. We knew exactly what we were thinking at the same time. Yeah, it looks everywhere but at us. So we have to stop. And off she went. She never saw us. But I was within like 2 feet of getting hit when she pulled out. And it's like, okay. Yeah, let's go home. And just, you got to laugh it off. You can't take that in. It's natural to get angry or frustrated or, you know, vent with a friend and say, you know, this, it's getting crazy, you're out there. But have that sense of self, know who you are, and don't let it infect you, you know, where it upsets your own psyche. So that's, you know, very often that's my best advice to people is find some humor in it and you know, carry on.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get through it.
Yeah.
We will. And
we get through it by leaning on one another, by having those connections. You know, Howard just put in chat, meaning life could be connecting with other living things, plants, animals, people, cosmos. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's... putting those tendrils of connection out and, you know, having those bonds. That's why people live longer. Dr. Mike put a wonderful little list of people that have passed the mirror test, at least in some studies. Great apes, you know, including chimpanzees, bonobos, orangutans, gorillas. Elephants have, particularly Asian elephants, dolphins, whales, orca, you know, specifically birds like European magpies, First non-mammals to pass the mirror test. Some good stuff. I had another one that
and,
I was going to say.
And Howard has said maybe the meaning of life is, you know, could be connecting with other living things, plants, animals, people, the cosmos. I agree with that.
You know, it's funny because I started out, I do this too. I start reading the chat and I kind of tune out what you're saying because I'm trying to read the chat. I actually started with what Howard said. So I do the same thing though. No, I do the exact same thing. So I totally get that. But, and Audra, by the way, and she put in, talking about in reference to the simulation, she says, you know, the mind boggles who made them and made them and made them. And she had used whom, and I, good rule of thumb grammatically, because we're not here just to talk about metaphysics. Obviously, one of our main points is grammar and usage of words. If the answer to something could be like a he or she, you know, who's over there, he's over there, you know, it's a who. If it, the answer is him or her or something like that, it would be whom. A little quick little thing that I have to look up constantly when I'm at work. I have to Google that very thing so I can figure out how to do the email.
But, so Dr. Mike has added that alternate or controversial candidates for the self-awareness test is octopuses, scrub jays, rats, and cleaner wrasse fish. I don't know what those are, but
neither do I.
I think the more that we grow, the more we can identify what the self-observation might be, especially in the animal kingdom. You see, we're only studying with our own frame of reference, and we live life that way. We see everything through our own frame of reference. And, you know, and if they are on the alternate candidates, that's just something we're becoming more aware of. Mm-hmm. They always knew they were. Octopuses always knew they were.
Yeah, and you know, the way that we're defining that kind of sentience or sentience, depending on how you prefer the pronunciation these days, is, you know, being self-aware. Being aware of yourself is, you know, an independent thing, which is kind of very human-centric. But I will say that dogs do not always pass the mirror test, but they know their scent independently of other scents in the pack. They perceive life differently than humans. They're more smell-based and things like that because they have senses that we don't. They perceive things differently. I might argue that they might pass the self-aware test because they understand themselves as a unique being in the pack. But I digress.
You know, I want to throw this in. Dr. Stephen has said in metaphysics we have planes identified, seven in number. I would only challenge that in a perception. I think we have this tendency to want to categorize and a tendency to want to identify and then be important to know something. I don't know if there's seven planes that we exist on. I mean, what do we know? I've heard of three levels of souls that come to Earth, where one is earthbound or earth birthed, as they say.
Right.
Then there's interplanetary. I identify with that myself. And then there's the higher angel realm. I don't know what all that is. And I think we have, and as long as we can understand, I get it that we do this. But Howard's saying seven planes, like seven chakras. You know, her name escapes me, but we have a graduate from years ago who wrote a book in India. It's a wonderful woman, and maybe Dr. Kelly would remember, but who wrote a book on there are many, many chakras. There's not just seven. You have the seven frontal. So just let me give you this. You have the seven frontal, but on the back, there's an equal and opposite. Like if you think of green for the heart chakra, equal on the back is turquoise. So we can go through, you know, all the shades of colors on the body. So to say that there are only seven planes, I think might be a little bit misgiving. I think there's a possibility of many more. Or fewer, or maybe we don't know what we're talking about. And that's the point, though. We got to be okay with not knowing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as human beings, it brings us comfort to think that we know everything. I think that's a lot of times where dogmatic religion comes into play, but we don't. And in an infinite universe, there's infinite variation, I would argue, because infinite is a really heck of a, it's a heck of a thing, you know. It's not just a lot. It's endless. Yeah. If there's endless possibility, endless universes, endless, you know, realities, maybe in this neighborhood of, you know, existence, you know, seven planes or and subplanes go on top of that. One thing that as Dr. Stephen had just thrown in, one thing that I do want to point out, Dr. Bike had also passed, many animals may not pass the mirror test, but many argue that they still demonstrate complex internal processing, planning, empathy, individual identity. Good points. I also want to throw out that when it comes to things like, you know, the seven planes and how much more complex it can get, I think it's always interesting to point out that humans have far more than five senses. And that's not even counting anything that would be what could be described as paranormal. I'm just talking about the very material. We have obviously the normal five, but we have equilibrium. We have perception of time. We have perception of our bodies, aches, pains, hunger, thirst, all these different things. Hmm. You know, it gets on and on and on. I thought I was stopping you for a second there.
No, you're absolutely right. I totally agree, Michael. This might be a good time to say, if anybody wants cards tonight, please start throwing your names in the chat. Well, Michael and I would do an inner oracle self-discovery card followed up by a tarot card tonight. So we'll do it.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure we're good here. Last week we had Dr. Doug Kelly on as a guest, and because we transitioned to Teams from Skype, and because we just got the organization license going, there was an error with it. We couldn't do a group call under the organization there. So we had to do one on a private, which is not supported. And so we had to cut it off at 60 minutes. And the call literally ended. I think you got kicked off right at 60 minutes.
I know.
So we had to keep it a little bit short. We're not going to have that problem tonight. So we can go, you know, until we can pull some cards for folks. But just explaining last week, we cut it a little short. We apologize. It was technological issues with not being able to keep the Teams chat going. But we're definitely going to pull some cards. We already got a couple names in there. So we're going to get to that quickly. But no, this has been a great discussion I know you want us to do right by you and bring interesting conversations. And I feel even though I don't think we talked about what we were going to talk about at all before we launched in. And we've had a great conversation. And I think it's one. Dr. Vicky, you're very easy to have an interesting conversation with, so thank you for that.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And two, thank you guys in chat, because again, this is a back and forth. Love your contributions. Love what you bring to the table. Love how you have these wonderful ideas, and I love, you know, rolling them, you know, discussing them, putting them out in the open, you know, all of the different angles to it. So,
well, just to keep us thinking and ignited, and again, that sense of community. And maybe it is every time we open our mouths, something pops out and we say, I never thought of that before.
Yeah.
You know, we never know.
Exactly. And that's why I love debate. You know, anybody that knows me knows I love a good argument. And I think a big part of that is because I have learned from good arguments. I love people that challenge me. But so again, on that note, I'm just going to say thank you.
Well, let's get started, shall we? We have Damien up first.
All right.
I know we haven't pulled cards in a couple of weeks. So.
Yeah. It's been a hot minute. So we're going to pull from the Inner Oracle deck first, and a card fall out onto the floor. That seems to be the right one. Damien, Dr. Damien, you get number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner circle, character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. Believe it or not, I've been reading for many, many decades.
Mm. Well, and I... Right alongside that is the King of Spades. Now, it's interesting here. Insight, wisdom, King of Spades. King of Spades is assertive. certainly stands up for himself, has a bit of authority. And so it could be that you are speaking from a place of insight, Damien, or it is that with your insight, you're dealing with someone who's an authoritarian type. So I have to go both ways. Cause it's never just one way. And maybe it is both. You know, we're two people, and you bear the brunt of having insight and that wisdom to know when to speak, when not to speak, when to back off, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a dynamic of, I just had a memory flash, Michael. I think Damien was dealing with a coworker boss not long ago, and kind of about that. So it might be kind of lingering where there's a bit of tension there. But you've got this, Damien. It's just keep being yourself and, people believe what they want. Oh, he said, yeah, his boss. You can't stop people from believing what they believe. You can't change people's minds. You know, one of the things that Shelley and I talked about on Sunday, she said, Vic, you said something very profound to me a long time ago, and you said, some people don't want to get better. And she said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, it hit me like a ton of bricks when I had that realization. It's like some people don't want to get better. You know, they just want to be themselves. So there you go, Damien.
All right.
I think we have Howard next.
We do. And Howard, for you, I have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter. Mm. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old, and in with the new.
Oh, this is interesting because two came out together. Energy shift, new chapter with the nine of clubs and the jack of cups or the knight of cups of hearts. Live true to your heart, but don't necessarily come out too hard and fast with it. You know, you're in a new chapter. Anytime we've learned something, we want to share it. Look, it's just a natural thing we want to do. But sometimes we have to be cautious about sharing. And that's what this is saying, Howard. Be cautious about speaking too quickly without reading the room, you know, about who's going to accept it and in what way. I like to preface conversations that might be a little touchy for people by saying, hey, you know, I just learned something and I'm thinking about it. And that way it's doesn't put people on a defensive right away. So that's kind of what you definitely are in a new chapter. I'd like to pause for a second, Michael, and before this goes away in the chat, Donna put in here, I wonder if when we ascend the planes, we begin to lose our singular perception and begin to join a more collective consciousness. That's the ultimate question, Donna.
Yeah.
I believe that. It's a whole different perspective. And when I speak with spirits or other beings, the view is very different from where we are as human. In many ways, we're kind of trapped here. It's a limitation of sorts. Mm. And when you're free of the body, and look, let's just talk about organics and hormones and stuff, then the perspective becomes very different and the energies mingle differently. And is that, I think that's all part of the collective consciousness, but we are automatically part of, even as humans, we're part of that collective consciousness. Just how much are we aware of it? And I think everybody wants to be more aware of it, but my job, I realized this very young, pursuing metaphysics. You know, I wanted to learn about astral traveling and being a part of this higher world. Mm-hmm. And Michael, I had a I don't know, a cosmic 2x4 one night. Just learn to be a better human.
Easier said than done sometimes.
I know. It's just learn to be a better human being. You know, bless his heart, Howard has said, if everyone had fully developed telepathy, it might be possible to have a collective consciousness. We do have telepathy. We just deny it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have telepathy at all. It seems like sometimes I am painfully oblivious to things, but that's just me. I will say, I don't think bless your heart means the same thing for Canadians as it does Southerners. So.
Oh, is that derogatory now?
Very much so, yes.
Oops.
It's basically, oops, sorry. I keep hitting the mic with my watch. It's essentially like an F you, like, oh, well, bless your heart. It's like, oh, well, why don't you go F off, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, see, that didn't occur to me. Sorry. Yeah.
And I knew it wouldn't, and I think I picked up on it before.
Just a little nothing by it, Howard. I'm Canadian.
Damien knows. He's in East Texas. He knows.
Okay, another cultural distinction made clear.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Jerry up next, Michael.
Jerry, Dr. Jerry, you get number 4, past, present, and future.
Oh.
The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Jerry, I got the Knight of Swords. So that Jack of Spades with the past, present, future. You might have a bit of the past to visit you, revisit you. But you decide where you live in the present and know where you want to go in the future. And that's kind of where I want to leave it, is if, you know, we all have kind of remnants from time to time, but if there's someone or something from your past trying to bite you a bit, don't let them win. Brush it off. That's what I'm saying. So that's my, oh, Audrey, you're funny. She said also, bless her heart, may mean something like poor thing isn't too bright.
That's also true.
Oh, I have to find another saying.
Well, it's okay. Howard said he's not a Southerner, so he didn't pick up on that at all. I don't think so.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things.
That's
which
funny.
I will just take a little quick aside to point out. That's why so many times verbal communication is a heck of a thing. We all assign different values, weighting, meaning to all kinds of different words. Entitlement.
You know, I want to explain something. Good time to explain this, because generally, most of the time,
mm-hmm.
if I speak about somebody who's deceased, I would say, bless their heart. And I do that because whenever I talk of them, I'm not calling them. I'm just referencing them. Mm-hmm. And that's my way of telling them, I'm not calling you. You know? Because I don't like calling dead people.
Roaming charges, right?
Yeah, that's funny, Michael. No, I don't like to disturb those in other realms. If they're traveling around, that's cool. I don't like to call them. So I generally, you know, if somebody's my late teacher, I usually say, bless his heart. That's my way of saying I'm not calling you here.
Yep.
So yeah, I know it might sound quirky, but I've done that for a long time.
It has a logic to it. And when it comes to quirky, we all have our own individual quirks about things.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, makes it hard to communicate sometimes. You know, a lot of times we use words that mean something to us, but not that thing to the other person. But
it's one of the reasons in many indigenous cultures, the mourning is for a year. And you cannot speak of the dead for at least 1 year for fear of disrupting them on their travels and for fear of calling them into this realm. It's fascinating. I find it fascinating. I don't know how much truth there is to it. I'm just saying. We have Donna next.
All right.
Are you there?
I'm back. I'm sorry. I had to settle a massive dogfight, as you guys can hear in the background a little bit there. You can tell when my mic was muted or not based on whether you can hear my foster dog Bear in the background. But joking, of course, they were just playing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Donna.
Donna. Donna, for you, I have number 20, Deliberate Intent. I feel like it's been a minute since we pulled this one. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. And release with patience.
Page of Pentacles. If deliberate intent, it might be something financial here. I have to go to a fundamental, Donna. We all have to put action into things for sure. But it's also about being positive and sending that message out there. So if you're kind of wishing for, or looking for, hoping for, you know, that kind of thing when it comes to an improvement in finances, I'm going to say it's on the way. But be very deliberate and casual about it. You know, everything's going to be okay. It's coming. Sometimes our actions might be to budget differently, but I can't help but feel something extra might be coming your way. So I'm hoping you're not worried about things. That's what I want to say. We have Kevin next.
All right, Kevin. Number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. And drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
You know, the Four of Spades doesn't come up very often, but it's a time of chill out. Ooh, sometimes it's a time just to meditate and observe, Kevin. Four of Swords is a constraint. It's take a rest. It's don't push yourself too hard. Sometimes we need digestion. You know, if you've been on a big learning curve and you're a stressor, take time out. I'm just going to meditate. I'm just not going to think about things. I'm just going to go mindless for a minute, maybe watch a movie or two, and check out from the world. But I say give yourself a little bit of time to, and I want to go back to that word, digestion, just to digest things and then observe in a new way. So that divine cosmos, you know, divine energy, cosmos and spirit is getting a new perspective. But sometimes we have to let the old files in our brain delete, backspace and delete. Say, oh, okay. So it's just a time to chill out, Kevin.
Well,
I want to just say, Howard said you can call, meaning the spirits, and they might pop in for a moment while remaining where they are at the same time. Double slit experiment. I agree.
Yeah, by location.
I do agree with that one.
Yeah. It's an interesting idea. And also want to throw out to our card keeper, Wendy, thank you for looking that up. We had not pulled number 20 since February. But Kevin, you had that card on April 16th, so a little bit of repeat action relatively recently, almost a month ago. So, interesting. And let me go back to my list. I think we have Wendy next, but maybe...
We do.
Okay, perfect. Not skipping anybody. Thought I might. All right, Wendy, number 39, education. Why does that feel familiar? All right, number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Ooh, I got the star, Wendy. I think you're onto something, and maybe something new, but applied to something you already know. So a new angle, a new vision, kind of a new approach. The star, it's too hokey really to say it's all about wishes. It's really about the flow of life and water and realizations, enlightenment. So education with the star is finding, I would say, the word I want to use is find a new approach. It's your learning about a new approach, a revelation about a new approach. And it's all based on everything that you've accumulated so far, because that is education. And so you're learning about, oh, I didn't know that. I can do this way. And it's kind of exciting. So I think you're going to feel a little bit pumped. If not already, then very soon. Cool.
All right.
Teresa.
Teresa, you have number 22. Think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, the Ace of Diamonds, in this case, I want to take it right to, again, another fundamental level about life. Think for yourself, and the Ace of Diamonds, the Ace of Pentacles, in matters of finance, investment, where you want to put your money, how you want to spend your money, how you want to receive your money, it's about thinking for yourself. So you might be getting advice from people, or other people might have different ideas, but this is, if it's yours, you think for yourself. If it's shared, then you think together, you know, but still make sure you have your own opinion and thinking for yourself. And if you don't have enough information to have an opinion, then do the research, do a little bit of investigating before you commit. Before you commit to that, Teresa. I hope that makes sense to you. So, because that's what just came out of my mouth. So,
hey, we're gonna roll with it.
We have Audra, and I think that's the last one in the chat.
Yeah,
tonight.
I think so. Audra, you get number 10, Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit. Another good one that feels like we haven't pulled in a minute, but let's see. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
The Ten of Cups. Just wrote this down a different way here. The Ten of Cups, Ten of Hearts. It's all about family, community. So if we break down the suits, hearts are all about, you know, some fundamental things of affection, love, and how we are, as we talked about tonight, community. That power of the human spirit is how do we survive even through difficult times? And it is with that community. It is with your family, your close friends. And it's maybe this is a time, Audra, where you're relying on that right now to keep your sanity. It could be that simple. I want to go back to what we were talking about earlier, when all else out there in the world is kind of crazy, just make sure you find that solace. And the solace is in those immediately around you, those you connect with. They, you know, you get each other. and feeling in that safe zone kind of thing. So, but I would say this is a good message about your community, your family. So, you whatever challenge there is right now, you'll get through it for sure. Absolutely.
I like that. Very nice. Very good.
Well, I've had a great time. I know Dr. Mike had to leave us. He said something just came up. And for those who, have had to bounce out from time to time, because that's what happens when you're on air and people have lives, and we have time change differences. It's very late where you are and not for me, so
That's true. In these, well, I can't tease you for being Canadian anymore, and it really bugs me. And it really bothers me. I'm just gonna have to say that. I used to like teasing you. I was gonna say, well, here in civilization, it's almost 10 o'clock, but then that just sounds mean, especially in the context of everything, but never mind. It feels a
Whatever.
lot meaner without the obligatory laughs.
Oh, I'm
But
just
anyway, I
trying
was
to
just gonna
get
say.
caught up in the chat here too, Michael. Thanks for the feedback, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Teresa said that I needed that today. She said I had a discussion this morning, and this applies too. Thank you for that, Teresa. Again, intuition is not something that's thought of. Intuition, or that connecting, is having these things that trigger an automatic, instant feeling picture, and then applying that into life. I've been doing this for over 50 years, so I couldn't have done it that quickly, back in the day, but I got kind of accustomed to myself and more comfortable with it, and I just have to somehow relax and, hope and believe that it might make sense to somebody and going with that. And I just want to encourage other people, observe yourself, find out more about who you are and how you translate information. What senses do you have? And watch how we prejudice ourselves, because we all do it. I love Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, sorry. And what happens in that instant, and then we intellectualize, and how I encourage anybody to read this book, and how we are affected by our conditioning. You go somewhere into a room, bunch of people, and you don't get a good feeling. Well, maybe that room is painted yellow when you had a traumatic event when you were five in a yellow room. And it's how we have files upon files that kind of get in the way of how we read things in our environment. And that's an automatic sensory perception versus like this intuitive kind of, I have nothing really to gauge by this. There's no physical interaction. There's no voice, nothing that I could do some kind of mentalist reading to it. It's just, oh, a picture. Oh, a story. Oh, that I reference, that I can kind of relay a bit of information. And I can't tell you how much that feedback is appreciated, because I know I'm not nuts.
At least you know you're not nuts. I got nothing for relief on that.
There we go.
I like it. And it is this connection, that feedback, this connection we have with you guys in the chat, and it makes it so much more worthwhile. I love coming to this program. I love connecting with you guys. I love the feedback. And I love the humor. I love how everybody is down to earth, a good sense of humor.
Yeah, have
So
to.
it's good times all around. But,
Can I just say that I know the people in the U.S. are having a tough time. You're going to get through this. It might get bumpier, but if you can hang in there, everybody, and do what you need to do, start a revolution if you must, but have that hopefulness that this will improve, that things are going to turn around. That's my prediction. So don't collapse into despair, frustration, depression for that matter. You may be facing a lot of challenges, I know, with your businesses or, whether it's your jobs. It's a lot of things that people, are going through. And the world is watching. I just want to say that. And while we may have differences on some levels, we're all just people. And a lot of people just trying to get through it. And you will get through this. I think every country at this moment on the planet is going through a blip. I think everybody is affected in some way by dealings of certain people and decisions and money and power, corporations, the list is long. And my heart goes out to people who are really suffering very devastating effects of violence. But we're going to get through this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we're all folks. We will always have more in common with one another than we have that divides us and separates us. And for a lot of reasons, I'm going to point out that revolution can be a lot of different things, including ideas and, coming to the table with, different perspectives and what have you. Little disclaimer there too. But, it's a wild world. Howard actually points out that, and I think this is accurate of anything in existence, but what we're experiencing in the U.S. is a speck in the timeline of history. I think that could be said for any event that's ever impacted humanity. Hundreds of thousands of years, humans walked this planet, and then what, came before. It has been a long time of that. Only roughly 6 or 7,000 years has been documented in any kind of fashion other than cave art. Existence is big. And we're going to make it through it, and we just have to hang tight with one another and, remember, do right, right? It's not just
Absolutely.
do no harm, it's do right too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great evening. Thank you, Michael.
It has, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you to the chat. I always appreciate content generation, so. But, yeah, it's been a good one. It is that time of the evening. I was just going to throw out here, Teresa had thrown out in chat, and I'm going to butcher this. I know it. Solfeggio frequencies. Let me go back up here if I can find.
Fibonacci?
No, that's the Fibonacci sequence mathematics.
Oh, the other one.
There's this thing in the chat where it keeps bringing us to the front. I know that I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to talk while I do it because dead air is.
I know it's back there in the chat.
Solfeggio frequencies.
Yes.
Is that, I know we talked about something regarding frequencies relatively recently, and I just can't quite place it, but I don't think it was that. Are you familiar with that,
No. No, but we're going to look it up.
We are. We're going to look into it.
Yeah.
So maybe, I'm going to look
Yeah.
into it and see, yeah, maybe we'll talk about that too, or, something related to it. But either which way, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a good conversation next week. And I can't tell you how much I'm going to look forward to chatting with you guys again, but it is that time of the evening. Thank you very much for this wonderful conversation. And we are kind of signing off now, but Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts before we do?
Yeah, don't let them push you around out there, folks.
Good stuff. I love it. Well, guys, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.